I want you to imagine with me two Israeli men crossing the Jordan River towards the city of Jericho. They're coming from the east side of the Jordan River. They're coming out of the Israelite camp sent by their commander, Joshua, who has recently replaced Moses. The Israelites have come out of Egypt some 40 years earlier, and Moses has led them through Sinai, 40 years in the desert. They have come up the eastern side of the Dead Sea, the eastern side of the Jordan River, and they have completely destroyed the kingdoms of the Amorites, and they're ready to go into the land that the Lord has promised to them. So our two spies wait under cover of darkness outside the walls of Jericho, that ancient city. When it's light and the gates open, they go in, apparently unchallenged, and their job, their task, is to reconnoitre that city of Jericho. They're particularly interested in the walls, and so they're walking around the inside of the walls, and they come at some point to what we might call a red light district. And there they enter the house of a prostitute, Rahab. Now, you might wonder what two good Jewish boys were doing in the house of a prostitute, let alone a Canaanite prostitute. The text is actually very clear for us, and it doesn't go into exactly what their expectations might have been, but it does say that they bedded down there. The word in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 2 is not that they stayed there, but they bedded down. No matter what their expectations may have been, they may have been dashed because Rahab had other business to contend with. Because very quickly there was a rapping on the door. And outside of Rahab's door were messengers from the king of Jericho, probably soldiers. And these men demanded that she turn the two spies over to them. It seems that our two spies were not exactly Mossad. At this point, Rahab does something that is very, very surprising indeed. She turns and she drags the two spies out of their bed. She takes them up onto the roof and she hides them under stalks of flax, that is linseed. She tells the soldiers at the door that these men did come to her. She didn't know who they were, and she sent them off, and they would have left Jericho by that time. Let me read to you the passage from Joshua and chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. "Go, look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab, and they bedded down there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab: "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman took the two men and hid them. She said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I didn't know where they came from." At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, the men left. "I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under stalks of flax that she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Now, that leaves our two spies in a pretty pickle, doesn't it? The gates were shut. Here they were in a house of prostitution. One squeak from Rahab, and these two men would be floated back across the Jordan River in caskets. But then Rahab comes up with another surprise. She's full of surprises, this woman. And the surprise is actually a confession of Israelite faith. Absolutely astonishing. Let me read to you what she actually says to the two men. She's got some negotiations to do, and this is where she starts. Verse 8. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts sank, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. Now, we must understand that no prophet had visited Jericho. And so we could ask the question, how does Rahab know all of these things? It's not like the city of Nineveh, visited by a prophet from Israel who gave them time to repent. No prophet had visited this city. How did they know? The answer is very simple. By merchants and by traders, word had come of what had happened with the Israelites coming out of Egypt. And the people of Canaan and the people of Jericho particularly had kept track of what was happening with the Israelites. They knew that they'd come out of the land of Egypt. They knew about the crossing of the Red Sea. They'd watched and waited for 40 years as the Israelites moved around in the desert. And more recently, they particularly knew and understood that the Israelites had come up on the eastern side of the Jordan River and utterly destroyed the kingdoms of the Amorites. They certainly knew that the Israelites were camped in their hundreds of thousands just on the other side of the Jordan River. They may well have been even visible. And so they were melting in fear. The extraordinary thing is not that Rahab knew about these things, but rather that she believed in the God of Israel. Indeed, she confesses Yahweh, the name of God, as God of heaven above and in the earth below. Now, the fundamental Israelite faith coming out of Deuteronomy 6, passage that's known as the Shema, is, behold, the Lord your God is one God. And this is exactly what Rahab confessed. Your God is God of heaven above and earth beneath. What's more, she knew and understood and believed that Israel were the people of God and that he was bringing them into the land that he promised to give to them, even as he promised Abraham, their forefather. So Rahab shows herself to be of orthodox Israelite faith. You might even say that she's a true Israelite. And what she sees very clearly is that she's on the wrong side of the equation at the present time. She needs to be aligned with the God of Israel, with Yahweh. So what Rahab understands very clearly is that she's on the wrong side. She needs to be aligned with the true God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Israel. Now, lest you think that this is all just ancient history, let me illustrate for you that this is actually a picture of our situation. That is, the people of the world sit under the judgment of God. The judgment is coming just as surely as the judgment of God was going to fall on the land of the Canaanites and upon Jericho. Surely the judgment of God is going to fall upon this world, for God will judge this world by the man that he has appointed. And that, of course, is Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians 1, it says, he will punish those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of God and from his holy angels. So this world stands under the judgment of God. It's entirely analogous to the situation that Rahab found herself in the land of Canaan. And so just as Rahab needed to align herself with the true and living God, so also the people of our world need to align themselves with the true and living God who has been revealed to us in the name of Jesus Christ. This, of course, is why Rahab hid the spies. That is to say, her actions followed her faith. she acted on what she believed. This is picked up for us in the little book of James towards the end of the New Testament. James says, faith without deeds is dead. Was not Rahab the prostitute? Indeed, he says, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous when she took the spies and gave them lodging and sent them off in another way? Just as the body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without deeds is dead. Rahab might even have, as it were, understood this instinctively. And we must also remember Jesus' words. As you have treated one of these little ones of mine, and he means his disciples, so also you have treated me. And anything that you have not done for one of these little ones of mine, you have not done for me. It's almost as though Rahab knew ahead of time the words that Jesus would speak. So there are very, very clear lessons for us. But the story of Rahab is not yet finished. She still has more surprises in store for us. And Rahab demands from these two spies a sign that they, and indeed that God, would protect her from the coming destruction. Now, Rahab has some serious negotiating to do with our two spies, and she has no hesitation whatsoever about using the leverage that she clearly has over them at this point in the story. So I'm going to read to you, and this doesn't come out of the NIV, it's from a different translation, verse 12 and 13. And these are the demands that she puts on the two spies. It runs like this. Now, make an oath with me in the name of Yahweh. She's asking them to make an oath in the name of their own God. Since I have treated you graciously, you, yes, you all, shall deal graciously with the house of my father. You shall give me a true sign. You shall keep my father, mother, brothers, and sisters alive and deliver our lives from death. Now, these are not requests. This is not a petition. This is a demand. And she's in a position to make the demand, is she not? For she has the two spies locked away in her house. Well, the two spies, understanding their circumstances and situation, are quick to make promises. Your lives for our lives. As you have protected us, so also we will protect you. Rahab is satisfied with their promises, and she's already made a way for them to escape. Because her house is situated in the wall. She has a window that looks out over the wall to the outside. She lowers a rope and they're able to clamber down the rope and out to safety. The tension is relieved, as it were, at this point. But as they touch the ground, perhaps even as they're dangling from the rope, our two spies turn round and make some demands on Rahab. Very soon, the city will be destroyed. There will be death and destruction all around her house. She is to tie a red or a scarlet cord in the window, and all of her family must be inside of her house. They will not be responsible for the blood of anyone who is outside of the house. Now, I wonder, does that sound familiar to you? Perhaps it will, because 40 years earlier, the Israelites were in Egypt, and God gave the Egyptians signs. They were signs of the impending judgment and signs of the greatness of Yahweh and that Israel was their people. Let my people go. The great and climactic sign, of course, was the death of the firstborn. The angel of death would pass over Egypt. And the firstborn in every family would die, death and destruction all around them. What were the Israelites to do? They were to paint the blood of a lamb on the door frames. And they were to stay inside their homes. Anybody who was outside of the house of an Israelite with the blood on the door frames would die, or their firstborn would die. And so what we have here with Rahab is almost a recapitulation of the Passover. It's like a reenactment of the Passover. And this is the sign that God, through the spies, is giving to Rahab. This is the sign that she will be enfolded among God's people. She's brought back to the beginning, as it were. She's aligned with God's people. God is bringing her in under the blood, as it were. And this is her assurance that she indeed will be rescued and saved from death. So God graciously gave Rahab a sign. It wasn't just any sign. It was a sign that was linked to the Passover, the event which was the salvation of God and the foundation of the Israelite nation. And she was given this assurance that she would be saved from death, just as they had been. And in Joshua chapter 6, that is exactly what happened. When the Israelites came and laid siege, the spies went in and they brought out Rahab and her family, and they were saved. They became part of the Israelite nation. The lesson here for us, well, Rahab was so outside of the law, so outside of the covenant, so outside of the nation Israel. You could not find someone who was less likely to be a candidate for Israelite citizenship, a member of the family of God, the nation of God, the kingdom of God. She was a Canaanite and she was a prostitute. She was liable to death by stoning on both counts. And yet, on the basis of her faith, on the basis of that belief in Yahweh, the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, she's brought in and given this sign, this assurance that she is forgiven, that she belongs to the people of God, and indeed that she will be saved from death. Friends, the lesson for us is the same. It doesn't matter our circumstances. It doesn't matter what we may have done or what we may have failed to do. None of these things matter because the grace of God in Jesus Christ is sufficient to atone for our sins. The blood of the Passover lamb is looking forward to, it was looking forward to, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The red of the scarlet thread looks forward to our Passover lamb, Jesus our Lord and Savior, who died on the cross for us. And irrespective of where we have come from, irrespective of what we might have done, that death of Jesus atones for our sins. It is sufficient for our forgiveness. Indeed, it overwhelms our sins. For this was the death, this was the sacrifice of the infinite, living, eternal Son of God Himself. And that is enough. Just as God looked after the prostitute Rahab, God sent Jesus Christ, and He also was the friend of sinners. He was well known for eating and fellowshipping with the prostitutes and with the tax collectors, who were the greedy traitors of the Jewish nation in the time of Jesus. And just as Jesus was the friend of sinners, He remains and still is the friend of sinners. And it doesn't matter what you might have done. It doesn't matter whether you have been a prostitute or homosexual or adulterer. It doesn't matter, because in the end, we're all the same. It doesn't matter whether you've been a thief. It doesn't matter whether you've cheated. None of these things matter if we believe and if we trust Jesus to bring us into the kingdom of God. And we have this sure sign that we also are included in Jesus' people, that we are forgiven, and that we will not die but live with Jesus forever. And that sure sign is a red cross, red in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the sign that we have. And this is our assurance. God's forgiveness is for all through the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans, the Apostle Paul says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we are declared righteous by faith alone, not by anything that we may have done. And not only this, but when God brings us into his kingdom, there is no such thing as a second-rate citizen. And we can see this beautifully portrayed with Rahab coming out of that city of Jericho and made one of the people of God. So at the end of the chapter, in Joshua chapter 2, the spies actually come back to Joshua and they recite the things that have happened to them in the city of Jericho. And they tell Joshua that the people of Jericho are melting in fear because of them. Whose words are they quoting? Well, they're quoting, of course, the words of Rahab, the prostitute in whose house they stayed. And so, in effect, God uses the words of Rahab as a prophecy that he brings to Israel in order to encourage them and to give them courage to go into the land which he is giving to them. So the spies come back, they relate to Joshua the very words of Rahab, and she becomes, as it were, a prophet to Israel to encourage them to go into the land which the Lord has promised to give to them. And then you come across to the New Testament, and astonishingly, you find Rahab there listed in Hebrews chapter 11. And this is a list of the heroes of faith in the Old Testament. And there is Rahab listed along with Abraham and Moses and all the other great heroes of the faith. We're told that Rahab, because she gave lodging to the spies and because of her faith, she stands out as one of the great heroes of the Old Testament. But the really stunning text is in the genealogy of Matthew and chapter 1, verse 5, because there we learn that the young girl, as she was at the time, Rahab, was taken into the Israelite nation. She married an Israelite man by the name of Salmon. Together, she and Salmon had a son, and his name was Boaz. Now, Boaz married a Moabite woman by the name of Ruth. Does that sound familiar to you? I hope so. It is, of course, the story of the book of Ruth in the Old Testament. Boaz and Ruth had a son, Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of King David. In other words, King David's great-great-grandmother was Rahab, who had been a Canaanite prostitute. But friends, she was no longer, because all of that had been put behind her as she was forgiven and brought into the kingdom of God and the people of God. So it is with us, friends. There are no second-rate citizens in the kingdom of God. And once again, I want to emphasize and say to you and to all of us, as we come into the faith, all of the things that we may have done, all that is past is forgiven. It's put behind us. And we are able to join with Jesus in a new kingdom. We are justified, we are declared righteous with God through faith alone. And Rahab is a marvelous and wonderful example of that faith which saves. Today, it's a faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that he has died for the forgiveness of our sins and in our place, and that he has been raised from the dead to bring us into a new kingdom, a new heavens and a new earth, that he is seated on the throne of God and offers forgiveness to all who will put their trust in him. May the Lord grant that his cross would be a sign over us all, that we might turn to him truly, find forgiveness, and live with him forever.